We might need to redo that whole thing. Because it was off the charts on our laughing there. We'll just keep going because, you know, why not?
Sorry.
There we go.
The Tantrum House Board Game Podcast is recorded live from Studio WKRB in Greenville, South Carolina. Your hosts are Prognosticator Supreme, peering into the swirling mist of future Kickstarters and glimpsing the diamonds in the rough. So buckle up. Seriously, especially if you're driving right now. Because you're about to arrive at the Tantrum House.
Hello, hello, and welcome to the show. That was good. Come on. Today we got Will Meadows,
Sarah Meadows,
Kevin Delp,
Melissa Delp,
Katie Pills,
and Ryan Pills.
In the house.
The haunted house.
Welcome back, Katie and Ryan. It's been a while.
Thank you.
How are you guys doing? Still alive?
Yep. We have recovered.
Good. Thanks for not passing it to us. We appreciate that.
Yes. And tonight we are talking about five games coming to Kickstarter the week of October 30th, 2017.
Woohoo. It's going to be a good week. We are recording this a week ahead, obviously, but tonight, in real time life, October 30th, we'll be doing another game night at Due South where we do our monthly event, and we're doing kind of a haunted Halloween-y thing.
Yeah, Halloween, people dress up and...
Katie, what costume are you going to wear?
It's a secret.
I knew it.
It's always a surprise, guys. Come on.
It's also our anniversary week, we might just... cough out and wear our wedding garments.
That's not going to happen.
That wouldn't be a surprise then, but we'll see what
happens.
It would
be a surprise.
Come as our ghost selves.
Corpse pride.
Ooh,
I can do it one year.
Yeah. Oh, that'd be great. Ideas.
So we'll be playing a bunch of the games at the coffee shop, and we'll have some, you know, like... carnival corn. What's that stuff called?
Caramel corn?
Caramel corn? Carnival corn?
What's candy corn?
Candy corn. That's what I'm looking
for. Wow.
Thank you, Ryan.
Oh.
I don't know these gross
We didn't know what you were trying to say. We were so far off.
But we'll be having lots of fun, hopefully. And you should join us if you're listening to this Monday morning. Come out and hang out with us. We have a bunch of stuff going on the show today. Got an interview and a little bit and a bunch of good Kickstarters, as Sarah mentioned.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't we go ahead and jump into... Well, let's start. Let's pause for a moment. And give a shout out to our sponsors.
This episode is sponsored by Fisher Heaton Games. Intel, their two-player abstract strategy game, is on Kickstarter until November 4th. You play as either the hacker, the black hat, or as the company protector, the white hat. The first player to control three adjacent systems wins.
I like this. We have a prototype of this, and it's been enjoyable to play... this game and share it with people, and I think a lot of us have played this.
Yeah, and we have a review of it on our
YouTube channel.
It's kind of crazy that we're to the point where we can't keep track of which ones we have on YouTube or not. With three people recording all the time and shooting and posting, and Kevin editing all the time.
Oh my goodness.
And Ben, shout out to Ben. If you've heard us talk to Ben in the background, he is our secret... seventh, eighth member? What number do we count him as?
Fourth.
I don't know.
Fourth official company member, and does all our video editing, and we appreciate his awesomeness. We wanted to give that shout out to you, Ben.
But
thank you, Ben.
Sarah, do you like playing the black hat or the white hat for Intel?
Do you have a theory on that?
Well, the couple times I've played with Melissa, it seemed to ever... I'm not sure which player goes first.
If it's the black hat.
The black hat goes first. I'm not sure if that player has a little bit of an advantage, or if it was just Melissa went first the first game when I was learning. And so she ended up winning. And then we switched, and I don't know if I had caught on well enough that I won the second game, but I don't know. I'd like to play that out a lot more and see if the first player has an advantage, or if, since you're going back and forth the whole time.
And I wonder if that's even recognized, like, in the, I mean, the fact that the black hat hacker is trying to hack in and the white guy's just trying to stop him.
Yeah.
Like, maybe that's even thematically that makes sense. I don't know.
Yeah. I like the cool mechanic where you're playing a color and the other person has to play that color tile. So if I play on a blue... spot, then Will, he has to play on the blue tile. Not necessarily on a blue spot on the blue tile, but some
So you're trying to really narrow down what you would like your opponent to do on their turn.
Or at least what you don't want them to do.
Well,
not sending them to orange. I gotta get them to...
Yeah, yeah, and we talked about it on one of our other podcasts, maybe episode
eight or nine.
Yep. Yeah.
In a moment, we're going to interview Stephen Cole from Escape Velocity Games and talk about his game Moriarty and Holmes.
Holmes and Moriarty.
Tricky.
But
before we do that, let's talk about a couple other things that are coming up. The Jack Vassell Memorial Fund.
Yeah, just launched this week on Board Game Geek. This is a huge charity.
It is. He's made it's become excellent and a big thing.
Yeah. So each year we've sort of been able to put our services up for a bid on Jack Vassell Memorial Fund. We put that up as a you can bid for either a board game review or maybe a 360 playthrough of a game or a Kickstarter preview. I added something I didn't tell anybody.
What?
Oh no! What did you
I said secrets. You don't go on Board Game Geek, you don't find out. But if you go to, I think our item number is item 124. Okay. If you go to that item, they already have 124 items on this.
Wow, that is legit.
This is on BoardGameGeek.com. I don't know if we mentioned that.
Yes, BoardGameGeek.com. Just look up Jack Vassell. If you just search on Google Jack Vassell Memorial Fund 2017, it'll come up. Anyway, our item, I added a new thing. If you want to bid, you could come and join us on our podcast for a podcast episode.
Right. Oh. Be a house guest.
You could be our own.
And you wouldn't even have to have a game coming to Kickstarter.
That's right. You could just join us.
Yeah, join us for an evening. We'll ask you games that start like the alphabet game.
No. Anyway, so that's cool. What's the other charity that we're doing?
Yeah, so the other thing that we are involved in is the Stonemaier charity, which we talked about just briefly on our last episode, and we wanted to kind of flesh that out a little bit more for you guys.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to still throw it back to Kevin because he's kind of been in touch and knows what's going on with the, like, how to enter and all that good stuff.
Yeah, so this week, Jamie is going to launch. It's on November 1st. He'll launch his charity auction. And he is giving away 10 copies of the game Charterstone, which is a hot, hot guy. Everybody wants this at Essen.
Yes.
Everyone wants this. So
when does it actually come out?
I think you can get it at Essen.
You can, okay.
Yes, you can get it at Essen.
And I think there's also some of the upgrades and new character meeples and some other things with it, too. It's kind of a bundle.
Yeah, so he chooses every year 10 different board game media people. Mm-hmm. He chose us this year, which is awesome. Ooh, thank you, Jamie. What this is... on the Charterstone, or on this charity auction, which actually is also on Board Game Geek, you can go and bid for a copy of Charterstone. But all the money, all the proceeds, everything goes to a charity that we are supporting, and we've chosen a charity, and I'm going to let Sarah talk about that charity.
We have chosen the Ronald McDonald House of the Upstate, of the Carolinas, excuse me.
Of the Carolinas,
yes. Here in upstate South Carolina in Greenville, we have a children's hospital here that has a NICU ward and has several surgeons and specialists for children with disabilities and different health problems. And so a couple of us from our Tantrum House group have gone and have volunteered there. We go... couple months out of the year, and we provide meals for the families at no cost for them. And we've also gone, and they have a pantry of some limited items that they keep on hand for the families, and we go and restock the pantry and help with cleaning the house and yard work and stuff. So it's been a good opportunity for us to meet some of those people who are in a hard time and hurting, and give them some encouragement.
Yeah, and they actually have an addition, like they're doing their own fundraiser right now, which is pretty cool. They, the building's been there, I don't know, several years, and they're looking to expand it, so they're doing a fundraising goal themselves to try to raise money to expand what they can offer and double their space.
So this is awesome that we get to help support them because they actually need the money for something very specific.
Right, yeah, it's very cool.
So I have two more things I wanted to mention about this. One is... we need you to go and bid.
Yes, please.
On this so that you can support our charity, the Ronald McDonald House of the Carolinas. On that section, you need to thumb up our item. So the person with the most thumbs gets something.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I think we get an advanced copy of something.
I think it might be Charterstone, which we could then review. And that would be awesome for all you people out there and... Podcast land and reviewer and I don't know and on our YouTube channel so you can watch a video of us doing a review of that. Also,
so we should probably, what we'll do is we'll put a link on our Facebook and on our website and some of those things. You can follow that link when this podcast goes live, and that'll take you to the page where you can thumb us up.
It won't be live on October 3rd. It'll be live November 1st. But
okay. Yeah.
And even if you can't bid or choose not to, you can still give us that thumb.
Yeah, give us a thumb.
And I think it's just the winning bid that gets it, right? Is that
right?
Correct?
Right.
Is that
winning, yeah, so you can bid.
So bid a little bit. I mean, give it a shot. See what happens. Yeah. You could win for something low.
That's right. And it's only a week. I don't even know if it's a whole week, but it's a very short charity auction. I think it's November 1st through the 6th or something like that. So it's a very short charity auction. So you don't have that much time once it goes live.
It's cool. Yeah, be sure to go check out everybody else's charities as well, because there are going to be a lot of different causes that are being supported, which is excellent. And then, you know, bid on ours, of course. But but if you guys can help us out, we would love it. We would be excited, and we would love to talk to you, you know, and answer questions and anything you want to do, because we're excited to be a part of this, and we are hopeful that you guys will jump on board and help us out, because we'd love to share in that joy.
Yeah, that's great. We want to welcome Stephen Cole to the house.
Hello.
Welcome.
Hello. Hello, and thank you.
We're so glad you're here, and you are with Escape Velocity Games. Tell us a little bit about Escape Velocity Games.
Sure. We are, like many, a small indie game publisher, primarily Kickstarter-based, and been around a couple years. We've had 5 Kickstarters so far, and we're looking to start our 6th here in November.
Awesome. That leads us right into this Kickstarter that you're going to have is Holmes and Moriarty. Tell us a little about this. This sounds awesome. I love the Sherlock Holmes like genre and theme and culture. So, yeah, tell us a little bit about this game.
Yeah, it's a fun little game. It was designed and developed by a friend of mine, Josh Timken and Brad Lackey. And they developed this really cool little card game that really has that feel of that cat and mouse game you'd kind of expect from a Holmes and Moriarty game. In particular, you know, you're playing the same hand of cards, but you're switching hands each round. And so you kind of have an inkling of what your opponent can play, but you don't know what they're going to play. And so you've got this real strong feeling throughout the game of, I'm going to really try to outsmart that guy. And then you're always disappointed when you don't.
Cool. So what drew you to the game?
Really, it was the depth of it. And only, you know, a handful of cards, it really has a lot of depth and a lot of replayability and just a lot going on. Essentially, if you're Holmes, you're trying to stop Moriarty from committing a crime. And if you're Moriarty, you're trying to obviously commit the crime. So it comes down to, it looks a little bit like tic-tac-toe, where you're trying to get 3 in a row, and it's this grid board where you're trying to get 3 in a row. It's a 4x4 grid. And Holmes the whole time is just trying to stop, you know, Moriarty from getting 3 in a row. And they play their cards a little differently and score points a little differently. And it comes out really well. It's really elegant, and it's got a lot going on in just, you know, the 30 cards, whatever it is.
Cool.
So you mentioned that some of the cards have points, but also that Holmes is trying to stop Moriarty. So are there different win conditions?
Yeah, so Moriarty wins if he can get 3 in a row at any time. And then Holmes wins if he can keep Moriarty from getting 3 in a row for 5 rounds. Usually the opening round or two is just getting a few pieces on the board. And then it really comes down to trying to get certain locations on the board so that you can connect the 3, or you're really trying to prevent him from connecting the 3.
Cool. So 5 rounds, how long does a 1 round usually take?
5 minutes.
Okay. So you're talking
maybe less,
like 20, 25 minute game total.
Yeah. For new players, it might take you 30 to 40 to really kind of get into it. But for experienced players, you should be able to, you know, bang it out in 30 minutes.
Wow. Pretty quick.
Mm-hmm.
So tell us about the pledge levels for the game.
Sure. I'm not 100% finished with the campaign setup yet, but I'll probably follow the model I've done for the other two literature-based games, which were Iliad and Les Miserables. And for each of those, I did a print-and-play level for like $5 or so. And then, and that's really helpful for international backers that, you know, just want to get a hold of the game. They don't necessarily have, you know, the inclination to pay for shipping and all. And then I do like a basic level that's really just the cards. And then you provide your own, you know, tokens, and then you can download the digital rule book. And that's, you know, a popular option for people that are really just planning to take it on the go anyways and don't want the box. And then the deluxe edition, which really isn't that deluxe. It just means it comes with a box and the rest of the pieces. But, you know, it's a fancy box. It's got a little magnetic lid that unfolds. Ooh. And it's really nice. Cool. And that version is the one that, you know, 90% of the people go for.
Sure.
But and that one will stack really nicely next to the other literature games that I've done.
Yeah, so are those the ones we see behind you there?
No, well, I'm trying to think. I don't actually have one in my hand. I can go grab one.
No one can see that. That's okay.
It looks gorgeous. Wow, that's amazing. Really great. Thanks for
So tell us, are there any like cool stretch goals that you have planned or...
The stretch goals will probably be some component upgrades, and I like to do a mixture of component upgrades and then like little mini expansion type things.
Oh, that's cool.
There's a couple cards that make it into a bit more of an advanced game, and they're definitely like an advanced level thing. The game kind of unfolds a bit more and more as you play it, and the first time you play it, you'll have very little clue what's going on. The second time you really have a strategy, and then you can throw in these advanced cards after you've played it a few times, and it really adds a lot to it. So we'll probably include those as a stretch goal.
Yeah, I love when a game can expand so you get more, like a better experience the more times you play it. That's very cool.
Yes, that's very much the case with Holmes and Moriarty. It starts off as a simple game, and it really, really gets interesting.
So this game sounds really fun. I like the Sherlock Holmes universe, like I said earlier, and this sounds like a great two-player game. Before we head out and move on with our podcast, we have a game we want to play with you.
Yeah.
Okay.
So
surprise.
Surprise. Are you ready for this?
I'm good at games.
So Sherlock Holmes, he has a lot of cases. Conan Doyle did, you know, the different Sherlock Holmes cases. We want you to try and name as many as you remember.
You've done your research, right?
Yeah, you've probably done a couple.
Of course.
In about 30 seconds.
About 30 seconds.
So. Ready, set, go.
30 seconds. Hound of the Baskervilles.
Yeah.
Study in Scarlet.
Yes. Very nice. That's a good one.
Chippendale Rescue Rangers.
You're making me look bad here.
No, that's okay. I'm trying to think. Isn't there the five Pips or something like that? Is that one of them?
You can name episodes from the new TV show. That's okay, too.
Yeah. The TV show is cool. Right. I'm just trying to think. I've not read all of them.
Yeah.
But I've read a couple of them, but for some reason...
Yeah.
That's the good. Final, the final problem.
Yeah, that was good. I think the one that the game is... The Hounds of Baskerville. So.
Yeah, that's cool. The one. But the final problem, that's the one where a lot of this...
There we go. Final problem. That's a good case. Definitely. And I guess that goes right into the Holmes and Moriarty thing, so.
Exactly.
Well, tell us, as we wrap up here, about your company, where we can find you on the social medias, and...
When your Kickstarter actually is on?
Yeah.
Sure. I am on the interweb, the internet at escapevelocitygames.com. I'm on Twitter at SteveOnGames. It's not the company profile, it's mine. There's also a company profile, but I don't really use that. But you can connect with me there. And then we have a Facebook page, and I'm on a lot of the Facebook groups dealing with publishers or designers and stuff.
Cool.
And then as far as the Kickstarter goes, we're looking at early November. Probably the first week, maybe the second week, just depends on how some of the reviews come together and, you know, to make sure that things are lined up. But, and we'll be running through to just before Thanksgiving. So the end date is set. Sorry, go ahead.
No, it's fine. What was I going to say?
I was going to say, I like when people have some flexibility in that. A lot of people lock in and they're like, it has to be launched on this date. And then they're pushing for last minute stuff and nothing actually comes together. And if they had just waited three more days, it would have been a lot better. So
this is my sixth Kickstarter. So I've learned that lesson already.
Yes, it sounds like
you've got some notches in your belt. That's great. So, well, thanks for joining us, Steve. And we will say goodbye from the house here, and we'll catch you later. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye.
Thank you guys very much. All
right. Well, that's super cool having Stephen Cole on the show with us. I think his game stands a really good chance of funding. It sounds like a really cool theme. I love that part of it. And then the fact that it's a little bit different in the gameplay. It's not one of those, like, read a bunch of text and answer the clues type of thing that happens a lot of times with those types of games. So, cool, man. Good luck on that. I think we're ready to roll into our Kickstarter conniption.
Kickstarter Conniption.
All right, Kevin, you want to start us off? What are you looking at?
So on November 1st, I'm actually talking about Brass Empire New Canton.
On November 1st, you're talking about it, or?
I'm talking about a game, Brass Empire New Canton. Yes, it's launching November 1st. This is actually an expansion to Brass Empire that I think launched like 2 years ago in 2015. The Brass Empire original game was a deck-building game, and it's got some really cool art and that steampunkish that Will really likes.
Yeah.
So steampunk. But what this expansion is bringing is like really cool.
Kevin was getting excited before the
podcast. I know, I was like, I can't say, okay. So, Brass Empire is the deck-building game, but what this brings, this expansion is bringing, and it is actually like a campaign to the game. So, it's got like, let me show you here.
Yes, show everyone. I can't
show it. Yes, so it's bringing an enormous expansion that will like bring more like espionage and sabotage. And it's got like 12-hour plus campaign that it's bringing. So,
wow. Oh, legit.
I know. So it's bringing a lot more content to this game.
That sounds like a lot of content. A lot of Somebody content. Worked hard on that.
Yes. And there's like different characters in the story that you can follow. But the cool thing is you're not destroying any of the components that you do sometimes in campaign or legacy games. Mm-hmm. So you can pick up this game and replay it as a different character. Now, ooh, you're not going to, you won't be as surprised because there are some things that are unveiled throughout the story in the game. There's some things that he already has unveiled, like there's a new sixth player, there's some cool gadgets, there's some hero cards and things like that, but there's some cool unveiling of the story throughout the game that I always like that because when you're playing a game, it's sort of like, I'm going to play again or I want to play more so I can see what the end of the story is for the game.
I have to interject and ask, Ryan, what is the longest, like, straight campaign game you've played? Like, without stopping. Just how many hours?
Straight campaign?
Yeah. Like,
in one session?
Yeah, or yeah. I'm wondering if people are going to sit down and play this as, like, a 12-hour like thing. Like, let's just have
seven
a minute.
7 hours.
7 hours.
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Star Wars 3, or D20 yeah, sessions. Yeah. Yeah.
7 hours. That's impressive.
We've had a couple Caverna games that have lasted.
Not even a campaign.
Remember? It's not a campaign, but they've lasted 4 or 5 hours.
The longest campaign we've ever done is we started a Pathfinder campaign like last 1990, year.
Oh, okay.
In the summer, I think. And we're still going.
Cool. So tomorrow night, actually.
Awesome.
Mm. So you can get this expansion, the New Canton expansion, for $42. Or if you never actually got the original base game, Brass Empire, you can get the whole bundle with the expansion for $79. And this is launching again on November 1st. And I'm going to throw it over to Melissa.
All right, on October 31st, we have Museum Rush by Room 17 Games. It's a 2-4 player competitive game where you're racing through a museum to try to steal treasures, you're avoiding cameras and guards, and the other thieves as well. It comes with quite a few different characters, and they have minis that go with them. It looks like they have different player powers as well. You have the ventriloquist and the snake and the joker and the cleaner. Kind of a cartoony artwork that goes with this. It looks interesting. There are loot cards that you're trying to steal and maybe stash and hide if a guard is coming. Because if a guard catches you with treasure, then you're kicked out of the museum and have to try to get back in again. Yep. There's different cards that you can play. The museum is made up of 28 room tiles. I'm not sure if you put all of them out each game, but there are lots of room tiles. Some of them have loot. Some of them have kind of actions, or they have different things that they do. And then some rooms are more neutral. So it looks like you're rushing through this museum trying to get the loot, and there may be cards that allow you to affect other players and move the guards around and stuff like that. So it looks kind of interesting. The artwork and the graphic design looks solid. So check out Museum Rush.
Cool.
Who's next? Katie, you have something?
Yeah. So actually,
I'm talking about portals and prophets tonight. Mm. And this one is especially of interest to me because I actually know the guy who's bringing this to Kickstarter.
Cool.
Yeah.
It's gonna be inside scoop.
That's right.
Yes. So this is actually a time travel journey through the Old Testament specifically.
Oh, interesting.
So, yeah, this is one where you are working with a hand of cards and you're trying to witness different biblical events that happen, but you have to be in the right place at the right time to catch these events. So there seems to be a really strong timing mechanic to this one where the time progresses throughout the game. So you have to be in the right place, the right time, and lay down the right cards. You gather points. You're having to move around the board. You can block other players in your as they're trying to travel throughout the Old Testament lands.
That doesn't seem very Christian.
Well, I don't know.
What is like the theme? What's the like storyline? Is it get points and win, or is it like alter history, or what's
No, not altering history. Definitely not. I think the idea is that you are a passive viewer in this. You're not actually changing anything that happens, but you're trying to actually
witness
accounts that are talked about in the Old Testament. So you get there's some set collection that goes on. You like try to control a region, like viewing the most events in that region, or following different characters, so it seems like it'll be pretty interesting. I'm excited to hear about it because I got to hear about this back when it was just an idea.
Oh, okay, so it's going to follow.
Yeah, so it was interesting kind of hearing about this process as it's taking place, and I'm excited to hear that he's bringing it to Kickstarter now.
Cool, cool. That's always like an interesting subject matter because some people can just mess it up entirely. And then I've seen a couple games that have done it really well and treated it well and actually put together a good game too.
So this is, it's supposed to be very family friendly. And
so.
I was gonna say, yes, well, very family friendly, and it has like a teaching aspect as well.
Cool.
So there'll be a lot of history to learn about because you'll have like who did what at a roughly this time in history.
Okay.
And
interesting.
So yeah, sounds like it's going to be pretty interesting. And oh, multiple paths to victory is one of the things, and that's one of my personal favorites because I like to have like, if I play this strategy this time, maybe I'll play this strategy next time and we'll see which way I like best and how I can manipulate it to work.
Cool.
Through there. So yeah, check that out. Portals and Prophets. Now over to Will.
So on the other side of the spectrum,
uh-oh.
I'm looking at the game Monster Slaughter.
Yes, totally different.
So I have to start off by just saying that I want to punch myself in the face on this one because...
Oh, I'll do it.
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, Ryan's here for you.
It's coming from...
Oh, I know you know karate.
It's coming from the publisher Ankama. And they actually, I think, approached us maybe like a month or two ago to see if we'd be interested in doing a review. Our table was totally full. There's no way to get to it. But now I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this looks so cool.
It would have been perfect for Halloween.
I know. It really would have. It's got just really, really fantastic artwork. In the game, you are playing as monsters, and you are like the head of your monster family. So you might be like werewolves or vampires or whatever. And you're trying to like get rid of these teenagers who are hanging out for the weekend or whatever. But it's got really cool minis. It is like a mini game. You're moving your people around the board, rolling dice, chucking dice, playing cards. The card art looks really, really polished. I don't know what other stuff these guys have done. They might have a bunch of other stuff out there, but whoever the artist was just really created a cool atmosphere.
It.
Yeah, yeah. And then, like, I just saw the intro video, too, for their Kickstarter, and it's like a full-on cartoon. I mean, it's really cool looking, so. Monster Slaughter. I don't know what the date is on it, either. Anybody want to shout that out?
It comes to Kickstarter on Halloween. October 31st.
The artist is...
Makes sense.
Appropriate, yeah.
Edouard Guiton.
Yeah, you go for that, Kevin. All right, well, good job, man.
Got any gloves for that.
All right, Sarah, what are you looking at?
All right, I'm going to do a quick shout-out to Kapow. This is a... I'm going to say dice building game.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if this genre of games has a title yet. I know we've done card building with Mystic Veil.
Yeah.
This one, you actually pull the little pips and faces off the dice. And
like Rattlebones.
Yes. If anybody has played Rattlebones, I believe this is going to be similar as far as changing your dice to what you want them to have on them for your rolls.
That's always interesting.
I know.
Yeah, Dice Forge does that as well.
Us ladies played this game, Rattlebones, at Origins 2 years ago now.
It's been a while.
And while none of us actually liked the mechanics of the game, we loved changing and making the dice the way we wanted them. It was so much fun.
I never can, like, do it really well, but I always think, maybe next time I'll get this down.
Melissa was talking, or mentioned Dice Forge.
Oh, right. Dice Forge also has that.
Yeah, that came out this past year. That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Maybe it's Dice Crafting.
Dice Crafting. Card Crafting.
Yes. So, this is published by Two Ton Porcupine, and it is, that's the publishing company.
Don't get near that.
All right,
and
awesome.
It is coming to Kickstarter November 1st. So check out Kapow.
Kapow! Kapow! Well, cool. So I think that pretty much wraps it up. We don't have any giveaways this time.
No. Nope.
Oh, so sad. So I
It is, I almost dropped out.
We have a couple collision.
Couple collision.
Yeah, guess whose turn it is?
Kevin and Melissa?
Nope.
That was last week.
Well,
it's my turn.
Yes.
Sarah.
Questions for Sarah. And we will see.
I don't know. I think Will's going to like just look over at her paper.
Oh, good idea.
Will is known for trying to peek.
We're going
to
peer into the brain of Sarah.
Cheating and peeking are different things.
Okay. Yeah.
Sarah's sometimes very indecisive, so we'll see how well we
do. I know. I'm looking at, we specially tailored this knowing that Sarah was indecisive about some things. And we're like, ah, ha, ha.
Actually, Kevin and I just wanted to win, so we made really hard questions. Really hard questions.
See how it is.
All right, question one. Liam, Lincoln, or Xander?
Ooh.
No, I'm kidding.
She already wrote it down.
Number one. That's all I got down.
Yeah.
Question number one.
Not a real question.
Oh, all right. I was about to write it down.
So.
I was peeking. I'll admit.
He was. We're going to have to put blindfold on Will.
Okay.
All right.
Real question number one.
For Tantrum Tees.
Oh, our t-shirts.
Yes. Tantrum t-shirts.
Okay.
Meeple Power.
Mm-hmm.
Trust me, I'm not the traitor. Or the Meeple Thinker.
And while they're writing it down, you can go to our Etsy shop and you can even look at these three shirts and see which one you like.
Yeah. All right, next one.
I'm trying not to look up. I'm ready. I guess there's one.
Which game? Battlestar Galactica or Firefly?
Or we could even say the show. So,
Wait a minute.
Which one are you basing it off of?
Well, I don't know. You were so vague in your questions to us.
You should know the answer to this.
Okay, Turnabout is fair play.
All right. Favorite game to play with the boys? They have three boys, by the way.
Liam, like,
is it our favorite game or their favorite game?
Favorite game to play with the boys.
That's what we're telling.
Problem Picnic. Get Adler or One Night Ultimate Werewolf. Those are the choices. We're giving you choice of three.
That was good. I'm
so
good
nice.
I think I got the answer on that one.
Ryan, did you want to ask the next few?
Okay. Which is your favorite board game box size? Tiny, like best treehouse ever. Small, like Steam Court, the most amazing game ever.
Yes.
Medium, like Ticket to Ride. Or large, like Scythe.
And Scythe now has a legendary box size, so.
Even bigger?
No, it's good.
Okay.
Alrighty.
All right, pick
one. I feel
one.
Pretty good about these.
Good. Yeah,
thank you, guys. I appreciate these.
Pick one. Art, mechanics, theme.
Ooh. Oh, no.
The ultimate question.
That went from heart or from easy to off this chart right there.
That's awesome. Good job.
Oh, boy.
Is that you, Ryan?
Ryan came up with that question.
Thank you.
Have you actually answered yet?
I did.
Okay.
Last question.
How about
two more.
Favorite meeple color?
Of Sarah?
Yes.
Shoot.
We all know Will's. What is Sarah's?
Don't give it away. Don't give it away.
I won't say anything, but I have a long explanation for this.
Okay, we'll wait till the explanation.
I knew it'd be good.
All right, last question, all right. Katie.
Last question is party, worker placement, or tile laying?
Mm. You have my two favorite things in there.
I know. We knew this would be hard because I'm genuinely interested to see what the answer is going to be because I'm not sure Sarah knows.
They asked me tiles or cubes.
I know.
Oh, really?
Proud of that one. All right. You know what your answer was? Cheat.
All right. I said ant or something. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. So let's hear it.
Okay, okay, so read your question and then we'll... Yeah.
The question, the first actual question was, which tantrum tea did you like the best?
Do I have to answer first and then
sure.
Yeah,
yep.
Verify?
It's Will.
Okay, I went with the Meeple Thinker.
Yes, Meeple Thinker.
Wow. I really do like, I like that one
which
a lot.
Which is actually it's the logo for
Wootenfall House. If you can spell that, we'll give you a point.
Yeah. All right. So that one was correct. All right, the next one was Battlestar Galactica or Firefly.
When you put show in there, it pushed it way over the edge. So Battlestar Galactica
yes.
all the way.
Okay.
All
right. Battlestar Galactica all the way.
All right.
I mean, no offense, all you
I know. I'm around slightly offended. All right, so next one. Favorite game to play with the boys?
I'm going with Get Adler on this one.
I also have Get Adler.
Yeah.
Wow.
They pick really that well. One to play all the time.
Yeah, it I'm does not... help that they love that one the most. Okay. So,
what if we had did it the other way?
That we enjoy playing with
yeah.
them?
What was our three choices?
Problem Picnic,
Get Adler, One Night Ultimate Werewolf. Or is there another game? Tell us, what's the other game you would
We've
like?
Been playing Museum Heist a lot okay. recently.
Really? Yeah, and like we our five-year-old, who it's not even his... age level of game
wins half the time.
Yes, because he'll not bluff at all, and then one
right
turn.
When you call him on it, he bluffs.
Yeah,
you're like, what? All right, moving on.
All right. So the next one would have been the board game box size.
Okay, well, obviously it has to be the Steam Court
yeah,
size.
Steam Court
yeah,
Steam
Court
size.
Yeah!
What?
That was a freebie. Thank you. Yeah. Appreciate that one.
All right.
Otherwise, I really have no idea.
All right.
How about...
And now the three hardest questions.
Yes. Kay. Art, mechanics, or theme?
Okay, I went with art.
I also said art.
Which yeah, rocking it here.
I have a hard time playing ugly games. There are some favorites of mine that would be pulled out all the time if the art were just a little better. All
right.
I understand that.
Five for five.
Yeah.
All right.
You can go all the way.
Favorite
awesome.
Meeple oh, color.
No,
bum, bum, bum. Let's hear it.
All right.
Okay, so.
What'd you say?
I wrote green.
Okay. What did you say? Tell us your story.
I teal colored meeples, but I don't know what color did you
tell write? Us your
I
story.
I put teal.
You should have put
which
teal.
Which are never a color in most games. There's very few games that have teal as
five
a color.
Tribes.
Five
so
tribes have
I,
teal color.
I am usually never blue. I'm any other color besides blue because Will is always blue.
Always blue.
Yeah. So if I ever
like,
play blue, no. I cannot.
I said it in my answer.
Yeah. Sarah is any color that's leftovers, pretty
yes.
much it.
Yeah.
Right,
except
question,
for blue.
Mom.
I cannot
yeah.
play
it.
Well, that's
blue
never
blue.
Leftover.
Right.
So, none. All right. And the last one, party, worker placement, or tile laying?
All three of those are excellent, but I wrote tile.
I also have tile.
Yeah! Oh! I think we call it seven, and we close this party out.
They weren't hard enough.
So, Katie had four. Melissa had five, and Sarah, six.
Six and a half.
Okay.
Six.
Truthfully,
we'll
though,
six.
Ryan and I have been married for less
oh,
amount of time
how
than
long
everybody
you
else.
Oh, you got to be there, don't you?
Yeah.
Well,
13.
We won't
13.
Answer that question. Congratulations. It's all going to go down here from here, baby. Well, I know I had a good time. Hopefully you guys had a great time listening. Thank you for joining us. Please do be on the lookout for that thumbs up opportunity on the Stonemaier
charity
auction.
Yep.
And if you're interested in having us do a review of your game, then
yeah.
the other option.
Or joining us on our podcast.
Yeah. All good options. So
yes.
Well, I think we'll call it a night from here. And hope you guys have a happy Halloween. And we'll see you next time.
Yeah.
Bye.
And read us on iTunes.
It's a night.
Thanks for listening to the Tantrum House Board Game Podcast.
If you liked any part of this at all, find and follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and tantrumhouse.com. Like us, share us, email us, call us, or send us a postcard. Thank you.